Now, I don't know if this is just me or a prodding of the Holy Spirit, but family, because of this wonderful technology that we're using to hold ourselves together and love on one another, and with the knowledge that we have people tuning in from out of our country, as well as I said earlier, in many of the other states, I would like to take this opportunity, especially to you who are tuning in from someplace other than your home, because you're part of our church family and we still want to connect with one another, so we worship the Lord. If you're from out of state, I'd like to speak to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he offers you. The gospel in its simplicity offers you that opportunity. Should you have just found us and maybe someone else spoke to you about the gospel, you're still looking for information, you're still checking Jesus out, I just want to invite you that if you would like to know more about him, we have a packet that we can send to you. But you would have to give us a call at area code 818-363-3767, or you could write us a letter to the church email, and I think those things are being passed around. But our church is located at 11263 Balboa Boulevard in Granada Hills, California, 91344. So again, I'd like to invite you, if you have never turned your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the cross for no other reason than to save you and me, my church family, the people, to save the souls of the people of the entire world. But his sacrifice on that cross is only effective for you if you have come to that point to where you sense within you, you know what I'm talking about, that today is that day possibly of salvation for you. You want to give your life in fullness over to him. You're ready to say, I am sorry for my sins. And I recognize that Jesus, you are the Son of God. And I recognize this too. You went to the cross and there you suffered for my sins, and you received the penalty, the wrath of your Father that I deserve. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry. And I want to be part of God's family, because God tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, to all those who receive him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. So if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, would you just pray with me? Just pray with me. Tell him you're sorry. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for things that I have either said or thought or possibly done this last week. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And there may be somebody, Lord, you know, who is listening to this broadcast, and they want to ask you to just allow them to say, I'm sorry. And then tell the Lord that you believe in him to be the Savior, your Savior, that he's paid the price for your sins, and you want him to be your Master and Savior. Tell him that. Thank him for having forgiven you from the cross. Thank him that he's extending his favor, his grace towards you, and receive that. Father, we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. If that was your prayer this morning, again, why don't you contact us here at the church? We have a I Said Yes to Jesus packet, and we would love to send that to you so you can continue this brand new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. and enjoy him from this time forward. Thanks again. If you take out your message notes, we're going to return to our study that we started last Sunday. We're looking at, do Abba Father's warnings, do his warnings to the rich apply to you and me, to us? With all that's going on right now in our country, really around the world, we find that, at least I'm becoming more familiar with terms that I don't like. Terms like stay at home, shelter in place, quarantine, and things like lockdown. Or my wife keeps telling me, you have to keep the social distance run. You can't go within 6 feet of me. These things are new, and they can be frustrating to some of us. We don't like some of these things that I just mentioned to you. But on the same hand, some of the teaching that took place last Sunday, maybe there are some of you that don't really care for what Jesus has to say about this whole thing involving giving. But you see, I'm hoping that this paradigm that has been taught through the church for centuries, but has been lost, I think, in the 21st century church in many respects, I want you to be encouraged, because it's not about taking away something that belongs to you. I want you to grasp the truth of the matter, and that is, as you saw last week, the scriptures declare that you and I have become managers, stewards of our Lord's assets. They belong to him. Everything we have belongs to him. So you and I have this wonderful, yet it is a responsibility. And we are to be protecting that which he has given to us. We are to be enhancing that which he gave to us. And we're to be using it all for his glory. So you and I have received a portion of our Lord's estate. And he has asked us, because he knows you to be people of integrity, to use it for his glory. But some of you have never heard that teaching from the Word of God. Now you know. And now you're responsible, as I am, to do what he has asked us to do with it as a steward or a manager. You and I are to find ourselves walking in a generous way. This is just part of our life. We give ourselves away. We are to be generous, humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was a generous and very humble God-man, our Savior. Family, just as Jesus pointed out last week, he wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be happy. But he also wants you to be filled with gratitude, especially towards him, for all that he has done for you. Some of you know what it is to receive into your life that character that belongs to Jesus through his Spirit. You've come to have this great big heart of compassion. And GHCCers, when I see you manifesting this around, I want to tell you, it is a blessing. Even if I'm not the focal point, it is a blessing just to see the Lord Jesus' Spirit being active in your life. So he wants you to understand that the blessings he's given you and all of the other types of things, the ability to be generous with your life and the lives of other people, he wants to give you more of that. There is no end to that, But he is looking for people, his brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father's children, his sons and daughters. He's looking for those who make themselves available to continue on conducting themselves as the Lord Jesus taught us. And the way that we can continue to receive these blessings, we first saw last week in your notes, be joyful and generous. That word generous in the Greek text tells us that we are to be faithful and benevolent in your liberality and bountifulness, and to do it often, and to do it in a big way. That's what generous means in the Greek text, and when our Lord uses it, speaking to us as his brothers and sisters. So we saw that we're going to be given blessings in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into our laps. That's a promise, family, if we are conducting ourselves as he has asked us to do with regard to being generous. We saw that generosity begets generosity. We also received last week, if you will recall, two admonitions from our Lord that came with commands. Present active, which is the term I'm looking for? Indicative. The present active, indicative, imperative. There we go. And he told us, don't be laying up treasure here on earth for you. Don't make it so that bank account is so cotton picking fat. I mean, it's just sitting there. And you're using it for all kinds of things that he may not have wanted you to do. One of the best ways to know if he wants you to spend that part of his assets that he's provided for you is to ask him. Talk to him in conversation, in prayer. And see what he might say to you as you're reading the Word of God and what you may already know. The other imperative was that we are to be laying up treasure for ourselves. Yeah, for you. In heaven. That is something we are supposed to be doing. The second thing that he pointed out to us, if we're going to be continuing and receiving these wonderful blessings that he wants to bestow upon us, we need to be honest about our finances and time. Honest about our finances and time. Being people of integrity when we think about it. And there in your notes, you see, we're going to revisit the same couple that we saw as we have been studying chapter by chapter and verse by verse in the book of Acts. You remember them. We have Ananias and Sapphira. Both of them had a piece of property. Nobody asked them to sell it. However, they saw within the birthing of this of the church of our Lord Jesus, no one had any needs. And the reason for that is other people, besides Ananias and Sapphira, they were selling their real estate. They were selling other things. Wherever it is that they received their property, it all belongs to the Lord Jesus. They were taking what he had provided them, and they were seeing that the needs of everybody in the church were being met. You know, it's sad that in the richest church in the world, the American church, that there are many, many, many people in those churches that have needs, and they go unmet. But Ananias and Sapphira, they have this piece of property. They see others selling it. They see other people being blessed. They see the big thank yous and accolades, and the apostles are really happy that these people are all responding to God the Holy Spirit and doing these marvelous, generous things. And now Ananias and Sapphira, they agree, we're going to sell this piece of property we have. But they also agreed that they're not going to give it, all the proceeds from the property being sold, to the apostles to disperse among all the people in the church. Now, nobody asked them, one, to sell the property. No one asked them to give the whole amount of the proceeds that they received from the sale of the property. But nonetheless, I think it was pride. They decided that they were going to hold back some of that which had been provided them from the sale of the property. Look at Acts 5, beginning in verse 1 here. It says, "But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property." So far, so good. "And with his wife's knowledge, Ananias kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?'" It appears that Ananias is saying that this is all that we got for this piece of property, and we are giving all of it to you to see it dispersed as it needs to be, meeting people's needs in the church. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds from the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own?" It was his. Our Heavenly Father gave it to him. And since he gave it to him, he was to protect it. He was to see if he could make it increase. And now he understands that he needs to be sacrificial with property given to him by the Lord. And that's everything we have. "Anyway, after it was sold, was it not at your disposal?" In other words, you could have kept the whole amount of money. You could have gone and done whatever you want. You know, take a cruise. Whatever. "Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out, and they buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife, Sapphira, here she comes, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she knows that this is the amount that she and her husband had decided they would lie about. And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately, she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of it. Folks, we should not give impulsively. You know, a slick salesman can get into your pocket very quickly. Ads on television that you're watching, you know, the pride of the, you know, the eyes, you know, the seeing stuff. We should not give impulsively or thoughtlessly, but we should do this with resolve. We have thought about it, and we have determined in our heart that the Lord would be blessed if we gave part of his assets in this particular way or to this particular person. So we need to be joyful and generous. We need to be honest and with our finances, and with our time. We need to be honest in using this valuable commodity, time. We have enough time to exercise our spiritual gift mix, the skills we were born with and have developed since birth, and along with the treasure that He's provided us. We need to be very sensitive about this and honest. And thirdly, be happy in attitude. Be happy. There's a good reason to be happy. We've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. We don't have to suffer like He did. We are the beneficiaries of the greatest gift that God could give after giving His Son to us. And that is the salvation that comes through His sacrifice upon that cross. But be happy in attitude. Look at your notes. We should give cheerfully. Hilaron. Hilariously is in the sense of very joyfully, but not in the sense of thoughtlessly. Cheerful givers always receive God's loving approval. Always. They always get His loving approval when they give it cheerfully, with an attitude of gratitude, as somebody once said. What makes a man or a woman a cheerful giver is the grace that God the Father has bestowed to him or to her. He has given you His favor. His favor. He has demonstrated a remarkable, unconditional love toward you and me who are His children. Such giving need not produce anxiety, because you may give a whole lot, but it should help us to feel great gratitude in our heart that we were a tool in the hand of the Most High God to bless another person or persons or the church family itself. And having said that, I want to thank you that after just one message on this whole area of being good managers, people of integrity, of all of the gifts that the Lord has provided us, we were able to meet last week's budget. And we had a little bit more going towards the week before's budget. So I want to thank you who are listening, and the Spirit who spoke to you, and you found yourself saying, yes, I understand this new paradigm. I may never have heard it before. Or you're saying, I was reminded and I've been lax, but I'm not lax anymore. And with this new knowledge, I am going to please my Lord, because this is His. Everything I have is His. So again, I just want to thank you so much for responding last week to our Lord's message. Jesus demonstrates His love for a cheerful giver by giving them more grace and more opportunities. You're going to have more opportunities to love on people sacrificially. And that's a beautiful thing when you see it dropped in your lap and you act upon it. He also said, as you look at your notes, He also makes us contented, sufficient in that sense. We are trusting Him, right? We're trusting Him for our salvation. Will we not trust Him for that which we need today? Will we not trust Him for that which is coming up tomorrow? Of course we will. That's what we must be doing. We are sufficient in Christ. In Philippians chapter 4:11, you see that in your notes? Let's read that aloud together, shall we? Philippians 4:11. Not that I am speaking of being in need. Paul's in prison, okay? And he's saying, I'm not speaking as though I'm in need. Let's go on and read together. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. He is a living example for us. He has been shipwrecked And I'm sure he was all wet and cold and had some sense of concern, but he was content because he knew that our Lord wasn't off on a vacation and unaware that he's out there drifting in the sea. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Let's read this aloud together, shall we? But godliness with contentment is great gain. What is he really saying, though? Look back at the passage here. This word contentment means self-sufficient, to be satisfied with what our Lord has already given you. Get it? I heard some got it. Good, good, good. But godliness with contentment, with self-sufficient, being satisfied with what he's given you, is great gain. Wealth is not the gain. Godliness is the gain. Being satisfied with where you are, because he knows where you are. He hasn't lost you. You're right there in the palm of his hand, he speaks about in John's gospel. You'll never be lost. But there are times when he will allow things into our lives, like this virus. We're all cooped up in our homes and so forth, and only venturing out for the necessities and that sort of thing. He's going to keep you safe. He'll never forsake you. He is going to be with you always. He's crazy about you. And he has a plan for each of your lives and mine. However, we always need to remember that Jesus is the capital O-N-E. He is the one from whom everything we have comes. Say that with me. Say this with me. All I have is given to me by Jesus. Say that with me. All I have is given to me by Jesus. One more time. All I have is given to me by Jesus. Now, if you have company at home, I want you to say that to each other. All I have... I didn't hear you. What? All I have is what? Given to me by Jesus. Okay, now, those of you that didn't have somebody to say it to in your house, you have your dog, right? Or your cat. Nina, are you holding Missy? Tell Missy, all I have was given to me by Jesus. So lay off me. Let me go back and sleep in my own bed. You might think that, you know, Ron, giving's a good idea. And when I have more money, then I think I'll participate. Wrong attitude. Wrong thinking. That's the old thinking. You put the word my in there. You know, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. No. That's his money. It's his. It's his to give. It's his for you to use in a way to expand it. It is you who are to protect it, but you're not to protect it from him. It's his. It belongs to him. You may just feel, well, I don't have, you know, the extra to give right now. The Lord Jesus never turned around and never said to us that you have to give 10% of all that I have provided you, Barbara. And Eugene, you have to give 20% of all that I have provided you. And Tanner, I want everything I provided you. I don't trust you. He doesn't say that. He says, Barbara, Eugene. He says, Susan. And he's even talking to the boys here. You know, if you get an allowance, you know, if you're receiving an allowance from mom and dad, he is asking you to simply sacrificially give. Now, for Barbara, it might be 5%, and that is a real sacrifice. For Eugene, for him to give 40%, that may run to be, for him, a sacrifice. That's what he asks of us, to sacrifice from the assets that he has provided you to be the manager of. I say to you, if you feel like you can't participate in any kind of giving to the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ, I say this with respect, it's a wrong attitude. I want you to think with me. You've read through the Gospels, most of you. If you haven't, I'm going to ask you to go explore and find this particular passage. Jesus, he is watching at the temple. And here goes this rich guy up to the temple and where the collections are taking place. Let's say the rich guy is Bill Gates. Because the rich guy in Scripture, he goes up there and he gives a whole ton of his riches. A whole ton of it. Like Bill Gates. He comes up, he gives $1 billion to the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? But you see, Bill's only giving $1 billion and he's got another $65 billion. Well, there was someone else who was going up to the collection boxes. A widow. A widow. And as she's looking in her purse and scurrying around, you know, that deep hole that all women have, you know, they don't know where. Anyway, she finds two pennies. Two pennies. Now that's all she has. That's all she has. And as a widow in Israeli culture, she has little to no way to make an income. She's very, 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 very poor. She's got 2 cents. But you see, the sacrifice for her was she didn't give one penny to the temple and keep one for herself. She gave both pennies to the temple for the ongoing work of God. And Jesus said she went away justified. The rich man did not go away justified. If you really want to be taking part in the cause of our Lord Jesus, and you think you can't, maybe you can't, but I would suggest you just ask him. Ask him. And I think he'll show you how you can. I really believe that. Remember, the power of we, you and the Holy Spirit, me and the Holy Spirit. The power of we. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you when it comes to this whole area of money. Ask him to get rid of the ants that are crawling all over your mind. Tell him to get rid of those automatic negative thoughts. Get rid of the automatic negative thoughts. Anyone can be negative, but I want to encourage you to be positive and optimistic and be a person who has been encouraged. You belong to the Lord Jesus. And he will never let you go, and he will see that your needs are met. Greeds? Don't think so. But your needs, he will see that they are met. So I want you to listen to what the Lord has said. He said, be joyful and generous. He has told us to be honest about our finances and the use of our time. He has told us to be happy with a happy attitude. And here he tells us, be aware. Be aware. Compare yourself. Don't compare yourself, but compared to Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or Mike Bloomberg or Tom Steyers or Diane Hendricks or Meg Whiteman or Oprah Winfrey. Compared to them, you may not have much. Compared to them, I've got zip baloney. But what I have is still his, and I get to take care of zip baloney. I don't want you to be comparing yourself upward. I want you to compare yourself downward, as I'll mention here in just a moment again. I want you to compare yourself to the 98-99% of the world. I want you to compare yourself to them. The vast majority of all the people in the world, all the people who make up GHCC, who have a modicum of money. Compare yourself. Observation. Here's your fill-in. When it comes to money and possessions, we tend to compare upward, not downward. Not downward. In 2017, looking at your notes, a family of four in the United States with an annual income of $24,000 was at the U.S. federal poverty level. $24,000. That was poverty level for us in the United States. But that fluctuates where my daughter Mindy and her husband and two kids live in this state. They live in one of three counties presently that are the most expensive counties in California. If you make $80,000 a year up there, you're considered poverty level. To qualify for a house up there, you have to make in excess of $300,000 a year. And my poor son-in-law, he's a judge, and they don't make anywhere close to that. But thinking of this $24,000, the poverty level in the United States in 2017, when I entered that amount in the globalrichlist.com online, it indicated this, and you see it in your notes. This income level is in the top 2.09% of people worldwide. If you make $24,000 a year, you're in the top 2.09% of what people all around the world make. In 2018, the median household income in the United States was $62,175. That was the median income. And I've given you a footnote there. That amount lands not just in the top 1% of the world's wealthy, but inside the top 1/5 of 1%. GlobalRichList.com also allows you to calculate your relative wealth by entering the equity in your home and the total value of all your possessions in investments. Another footnote. Family, millionaires make up only 4% of the United States population. 4%. It's easy to suppose that those are the people who qualify to be rich, right? To consider that the quality and variety and affordability of the consumer goods that we are able to have access to. Even the lower middle class is able to enter in due to the costs and so forth and own such things. Consider this truth. If you and your children or grandchildren are not malnourished or enslaved, and if you can access clean water and shelter, you are comparatively reasonably rich on the basis of that alone. Meditate on this fact. The next time you're tempted to think, I don't have enough money to give, don't compare yourself to the relatively small number of people who have more than you. Compare yourself to the 7 billion others who have less, and most of them far less than you or I have. In Hebrews 13, it's not in your notes, Write it down, would you? Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Our Lord tells us, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember, Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will provide those things we need. In other words, Paul's instruction to the rich in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, certainly do apply to you and me. His warnings to the rich apply to you and me. Verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. In other words, to be proud. Charge them not to be arrogant, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, but richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Here we are, the managers of his assets, his estate, and yet he allows us to enjoy it too. Verse 18. They are to be good. They are to do good. And this Greek term here means to act for someone else's benefit. They are to act for someone else's benefit. To be rich. And the Greek term here for to be rich means to be rich or to become rich. These are gifts that Abba Father has enabled us to do good things with, to do good works, good deeds worth with. So he says, they are to do good, to be rich in good works. In good works, family. To be generous, and again, this word generous, to impart liberally and bountifully in a huge way. To do this with a kind heart. They're to be generous and ready to share. And ready to share. You know, like Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Verse 19, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. The good life. Those who invest in eternity show that they have taken hold of that which is life indeed. Eternal life. Family, therefore, we should invest our money in the souls of men and women and boys and girls. That's where we should be investing our money. And in a church that is on board with teaching the genuine gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and calling us to be accountable to that gospel that the Lord has taught us. We need to be doing this, because wouldn't it be nice that when you get to heaven, I know it would be when I get there, and I'm probably going to be there before a few of you, to have them meet me there and greet me as I'm invited in. Wouldn't that be sweet for you as well? To know that little child that you taught in Sunday school so many years ago, and for whatever reason, that little boy or girl was called home before you were, and there they are, potentially there to be able to greet you when it's your time to be summoned home. The fact is this, if you look at your notes, for those who are rich, you and me, the key to avoiding greed, pride, and possessiveness is recognizing Abba Father's ownership of everything. We leave the old paradigm behind. and we embrace the Lord's commands. We embrace what our Lord wants us to do and to be blessed by, and to be that wonderful tool in His hand by which He blesses others. Read aloud with me, if you would, Deuteronomy 10:14, and then Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read this aloud together. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Family, that goes beyond what you can see. That goes beyond those 40 billion galaxies we're told that are out there, but we can't see them. Some people can see a portion of them with the Hubble telescope. He is the one, everything belongs to Him. In heaven, in the heaven of heavens, on earth, it all belongs to Him. Colossians 1:16, let's read this together. For by Him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. All things were not created in Him for me. They were all created in Him and for Him. And you and I have the joy of being a manager, a steward of His assets. It doesn't belong to me. None of it belongs to me. None of it belongs to me, myself, or I. It all belongs to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It all belongs to Him. If we were the ultimate owners of our possessions and money, no one would have the right to come to us and tell us, well, you got to give me some of it. Even not understanding the teaching of our Lord, we still have Uncle Sam who comes and knocking. You have till July 15th this year, but he still wants his cut. And I don't remember ever including him in any contracts. Family, look at your notes. Until we truly grasp that Jesus owns everything and that we're merely stewards, that is, managers of His assets, we won't be generous. We won't be generous givers. Because you're going to be thinking, this is mine. This is mine. No, it's not. So I want you to remember, Jesus is saying, I want you to be joyful and generous. He tells us to be honest about the property that we have, and He wants us to be honest about the use of our time. Is that being employed for eternal things? He wants us to be happy in attitude as well as aware. And lastly, He says, be a grateful, joyful imitator of Jesus. Abba is saying, be a grateful, joyful imitator of Jesus. The action step there for you, if those who feel they can't afford to give reduce discretionary spending, such as downsize, live in a smaller home, live in a smaller apartment, drive older cars. I miss my then 18 and a half year old Ford Expedition. I put 300,000 plus on that car. I liked it. It was big. It was roomy. People didn't complain like they do now in my present car, an Explorer. All I hear is complaints for the first 5 minutes I put five of us in that car or seven of us in the car. It's the same complaint. You're sitting on my seatbelt. You need to lose some weight, you know. I can't sit in my own seat. Just kidding. But those are some of their complaints. Drive older cars, eat out less. Leave Mr. McDonald alone for a while. Why do you want to eat crazy chickens? El pollo loco. Eat out less. Make fewer visits. Nina, are you watching this morning, Nina? Make fewer trips to Starbucks. Did you hear that, Julie? A significant amount of money can be saved by discretionary spending being watched. The reward, therefore, you look at your notes once you've experienced the joy, truly the joy of giving. Our Lord wouldn't have said it in Acts chapter 20 when he said, it is better to give than to receive. It really, really is. It's humbling too. Once we experience the joy of giving, we would find it more satisfying and of greater enduring value than the non-essentials we might otherwise purchase. When we understand just how rich we are, truly, and embrace Jesus' ownership of all that we have and that we've been given, it is a small step, truly, to regularly ask him what he wants us to do with what he has placed under my care, what he wants me to do with it. When you are mastered by the master, you can master everything else. Isn't that a good expression? When you are mastered by the master, you can master everything else. Say this to your dog if there's no one else home with you. But say it to each other if you have guests with you. Okay? Just tell them, when you are mastered by the master, you can master everything else. Get it?
Got it.
Good. Let's pray. Abba, thank you for demonstrating again your wonderful unconditional love for us. We are so blessed. It is fun, my Lord, to be joyful as a son of the Most High God and to be generous. You know what generosity is, my Lord. For some of us, it's that one penny. It's all they have, and there won't be anything else for another week and a half or so. But you've told us that we will be warm and filled with God the Holy Spirit in such a rich way by being joyful and generous. And may we be always men and women, young people, of integrity, being honest about our finances, especially as the Holy Spirit at times may convict us of what we're not doing or doing. And he may convict us over the time that is not spent in glorifying Jesus. Father, being happy, having an attitude that is happy is wonderful, especially as I'm thinking about some people who might have approached this morning in worship of your son, and they're unhappy. They're finding themselves needing encouragement. Father, help them to move into an attitude that is honest about their finances and to be joyful and generous. They'll find themselves being exceedingly happy. And to be aware of all these things that you've been teaching us last Sunday and this. May we live the rest of this day and go into the new work with a new paradigm, a new teaching working in our hearts and minds, being grateful, joyful imitators of Jesus Christ. our Master and Savior. We can be all these things in the power of we. You've promised us that. The Holy Spirit in me, managing Jesus' assets. The Holy Spirit in me, managing Jesus' estate. That blows my mind. And doing it with integrity. So we look to you. We look to you, our Lord and our God. Help us become these people that you will one day say, "Well done, son. Well done, daughter. Good job, kids." Enter into the joy of your Master. Amen.